Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we want to hear from you. Some troubling situation in life, if you have a Bible question, something you just can't quite understand, a good opportunity to call right now, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. If you're listening on CSN or Sirius XM, you can get your questions to us by voicemail at the same number, and we'll discuss them as soon as possible on the live Basic Gospel program. Once again, in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the grace of God, and we're talking about the grace of God in terms of what it means to you and me. Well, it starts with a promise. God has promised to save all who call upon the name of the Lord, and then he's promised a lot of other things for those who do call upon the name of the Lord. He promises that we will experience all the promises of the new covenant, forgiveness of sins, a right standing with God, a personal and intimate relationship with God, assurance that we belong to the people of God, and an internal change. These are all things that are available to us in the new covenant, and those who have responded to the grace of God by faith have been saved and are partakers, daily partakers of those promises of God. But also, this grace of God means God's presence. So God, was separated from us when sin kind of entered into the world. I guess I should say it this way. We were separated from God. And we see that picture in Genesis 3 as Adam and Eve leave the garden, and angels are put there to guard the way back into the garden. So we see this separation between God and man as a result of sin and death entering into the picture. Well, God has brought us near to himself through Jesus Christ. He is the bridge that we cross over from death into eternal life. And then when we've been made alive together with Christ, Christ comes to live inside of us. So we have God's presence with us. We see a couple of places in 1 Corinthians, for example, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It talks about this. Paul asks this question, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you? And that's a great question to ask. Don't you know that Jesus Christ, that God's Spirit, is living in you right now, and that his presence is always with you? So whatever you're going through in life, whatever circumstances that you're walking through right now, you're not walking through those alone, and you're not walking through those just through your own human effort and trying to figure out how to get to the other side by your own understanding. You have the presence of God right there with you every single step of the way. So we see in 1 Corinthians 3, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you? We see that repeated in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. And then in that chapter, we see that we have become one spirit with the Lord, that God's Spirit and our human spirit have become one. There's a union that takes place. So God's Spirit is there with us. And we see in Galatians chapter 4 that anyone who is a son of God, that God has sent the Spirit into that person's heart by which he cries out, Abba, Father. Yeah. So this is the personal, intimate reality that we have as believers in Christ. God is not some distant being that pays attention to us occasionally when we can get him to turn his eye our way through prayer or whatever it might be. No, God is right there with us. He is living inside of us through his Spirit, which means we have him right with us every moment of every day. Now, that is really, really good news. That is comforting. And let me just walk through several things that can give you some assurance knowing that God lives inside of you. Well, God is a holy God. He's not going to live in an unholy vessel. So what did God do as far as you're concerned. By the one offering of Jesus Christ, he made you holy once and for all. You can read that in Hebrews 10:10. So God's a holy God. You were an unholy vessel, but God made you holy through the shed blood, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So you've been made holy. God is a righteous God. He is faithful to his promises. He's not going to live in an unrighteous being. So what did he do for you and me? He made us righteous. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Mm-hmm. God is a living God. He's not the God of the dead. So he's not going to live in a dead being. So what did he do? He made us alive together with Christ. So we've been born again of the Spirit. So he made us alive. So he did all of this so that he could send his Spirit to take up residence. He forgave our sins. He's not going to live in a vessel that has sins attached to it. So he took our sins away, sent them of as far away as the east is from the west. He forgave them once and for all so that he could come and live inside of us. So his presence in us means that our sins have been forgiven, that we've been cleansed inside and out, that we have been made holy, that we have been made righteous, that we have been made alive together with Christ Jesus, so that God could send his Spirit to take up residence in us. So the fact that God's Spirit is living inside of you means all of those things are true of you right now. Mm-hmm. You may be in your worst mental framework ever. Your mind may be so far away from truth. You may be being hammered by the temptations of the world. You may be thinking about the desires of the flesh. How in the world can you figure out a way to gratify some of those desires? You may be at your very worst right now as far as what you're thinking, what you're feeling, maybe even what you're doing. But if you're in Christ and Christ is in you, it means at your worst moment, you are still forgiven, cleansed, holy, righteous, fully alive in Jesus Christ. That's what God's presence in you means as far as your assurance, your confidence in Christ is all about. And you start thinking in those terms, and if you're at your very worst moment, this truth will just explode you out of that and get your mind thinking on the things above.
That's a grace-filled message right there, Bob. Thank you for that. And friends, I'm glad that you've tuned in to hear this on this edition of Basic Gospel. You know, we talk a lot about grace, and you did in that particular opening comment, Bob. And today's edition of your daily devotional, the Hear It, Believe It, and Live It daily devotional, you talked about grace and
yes.
The misconceptions about grace. And I thought it was very insightful, and I encourage our listeners to subscribe. If you don't subscribe to the daily devotional, I hope you'll do it. Just click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page of our website. We would love for you to take advantage of that and just start every day knowing that you are under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed.
Friends, if you've been struggling and doing all the right things for God, well, you'll be glad to hear the great news that your struggles can be over. As you make your August gift to support Basic Gospel, we want to send you a copy of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, to show you clearly how the Christian life is really supposed to work. And you know what? It has nothing to do with what you are doing, but everything to do with what Jesus has already done for you. Now, by the time you finish reading Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, you can be resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Make your gift today by clicking Donate at BasicGospel.net and request your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Then, of course, realize that others around you need to hear the Simple Gospel as well. So you can order multiple copies to share with your family, friends, your workmates by going to SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. That's a special website put up just for the book, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. We hope that you will take advantage of it. Well, Bob, we had this call that came in overnight. Let's listen.
Hello, my name is Chris, and I wanted to know what the work of the ministry is in Ephesians when it talks about the work of the ministry. I believe the main work of the ministry is evangelism. You know, a lot of people think of the ministry as vacuuming the church and But anyway, the work of the ministry. Thank you. This is Chris from Maricopa AZ. Have a nice day. Thank you.
That's a great question.
Yes, it is, Chris. And you're right. Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 4, and he begins this section talking about the fact that we have a unity. There's a unity within the body of Christ, and that we're all tied together by some singularities. There's one body, there's one spirit, there's one hope, there's one bond, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. And then he said, he goes down in verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Okay, so there's that phrase, for the work of ministry. So apostles are to aid members of the body of Christ in their work of ministry. Prophets are to aid members of the body of Christ in their work of ministry. Pastors and teachers and evangelists, the same thing, are to aid members of the body of Christ in their work of ministry. So the work of ministry is not limited to a few hired guns. Mm-hmm. It's not limited to the pastor. It's not limited to the evangelist. It's not limited to teachers. It's not limited to prophets or apostles. No, the work of the ministry is to be carried out by all of us. So these gifts to the body, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers, are there to equip the body so that we can go out into the world and carry out our work of ministry. Now, that work of ministry, Jesus puts it like this in John chapter 6. So the disciples ask him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So these apostles, these prophets, these evangelists, these pastors, these teachers are to aid us in our work of trusting the Lord day in and day out through every given situation. That's what God has called us to. And as we trust the Lord, that trust in the Lord, that faith in Jesus Christ, is manifested in love toward others. Now, sometimes that love, that faith being manifested in love toward others, is going to look a lot like evangelism. It's going to look a lot like what Paul did in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when he said that all this is from God, that God reconciled the world unto himself in Christ Jesus, and that he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Yeah. So it's connecting lost souls to the saving life of Jesus Christ, seeing that reconciliation take place, urging and begging people to be reconciled to God. Sometimes it's the ministry of the new covenant. It's never a ministry of the law, right, a ministry of death, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3. It's always the ministry of the Spirit, a ministry of life, mm-hmm, and righteousness, connecting people to the life of Jesus Christ, and then helping them experience that life to the full. So there's ministry that we do as members of the body of Christ to people outside the body of Christ. That's evangelism. That's helping them to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So there's that aspect of it, and that takes many different forms. I mean, that could be a one-on-one conversation. That mm-hmm could be somebody answering skeptics' questions about the deity of Christ, about the validity of the Word of God. But in all of that, bringing people to the good news, the gospel message, the death, the burial, and resurrection. But there's also a ministry that takes place within the body. Here at Basic Gospel, we see a lot of ministry taking place through this broadcast to the body. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people that are in bondage, a lot of believers that are in bondage. They're anxious, they're worried, they're fearful, they're scared, especially today.
Yes, absolutely.
They're following rules and regulations. They're legalistic to the hilt. They live for the pleasure of man. They want to get the pats on the back from people that they admire and respect. So they're trapped. They're in bondage. They're enslaved to the opinions of others, to rules and regulations, to religious systems, to all of these various things. So this word going forth can help bring liberty and freedom to those within the body of Christ.
Right.
So we're all members of the body. We all have a role. We all have giftings. And what these apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers are there to do is to encourage us to take up our spot in the body of Christ, to recognize our role within the body, and to have the courage and guts to trust the living Spirit of God that lives in us to move us out into this world and lift up the name of Jesus Christ.
Lift up the name of Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing here at Basic Gospel. And Bob, thank you for that. And Chris, thank you for your question. We have roughly 16, 17 minutes past the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, as we're doing this program live. So if you're hearing the broadcast at this time, we would love to hear from you. If you have a question, something you're struggling with, well, give us a call. Plenty of time right now if you call quickly. 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. And we mentioned it just a short while ago, but Basic Gospels, Hear It, Believe It, Live It daily devotional is a great way to start each day in the calm assurance that in Christ Jesus, you are a child of the living God. The devotional arrives first thing every morning in your email inbox, ready to help you get the day started. Click subscribe in the upper left corner of the Basic Gospel homepage, that's basicgospel.net, and start the day in the quiet, joy-filled assurance that you belong to Him. Again, subscribe in the upper left corner of the Basic Gospel homepage at basicgospel.net. We hope you'll take advantage of the daily devotional that really is ministering in the lives of many people.
Yes, indeed.
We have a question from Deborah. Bob, she says, I've been told that my spirit is broken. What hope is there? Can God heal a spirit or a soul and again make it whole?
Well, absolutely. I mean, that is the message of the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we believe that gospel, we're made new. Our spirits are made alive together with Christ. So here's what we need to understand. Our spirits aren't broken.
Right.
Our spirits are either dead or they're alive. So when we came into this world, our spirits were dead. We were dead spiritually, and we needed life. And that's why Jesus came into this world, so that we might could have life. So when we trust Jesus Christ, when we believe the good news concerning Jesus, concerning the fact that he died for our sins, that he was buried, and that on that third day he was raised back to life, when we call upon the name of the Lord, we're saved. Well, what does that mean? We go from death to life. So our spirits that were once dead in trespasses and sins have been brought to life, have been regenerated. And that's good news. So now our spirits are fully alive in Christ. And as we talked about at the top of the hour, Christ is fully alive in us. So he becomes our hope. He is our hope of glory. What's going to happen to us in the future. He is our hope for living victoriously here and now. His presence in us is the power that we need to overcome the battles in life, to overcome the worldly temptations, to overcome the desires of the flesh, and to be, as Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, to overwhelmingly conquer through all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there is hope. Yes, God heals our souls. We see that in 2 Peter chapter 2, that by his stripes we are healed. And what is he talking about there? He's talking about the healing of our souls. Yeah. So that's what the gospel does. So if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, your spirit has been made alive. It's gone from death to life. So that's fixed. Mm-hmm. And now you have the Spirit of God living in you to renew your mind, to direct your will, and to let your emotions be controlled by truth. Yeah. So, yeah, your soul is in that process of being, of really being aligned mm-hmm. to the truth of who you now are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Well, it is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. And, Bob, we had a call from Ron in Fort Worth, and he had a question about cremation. Is it okay for a Christian to be cremated?
Well, it's okay. Certainly, it's okay. There's really nothing in the Word of God that prohibits or says that you shouldn't cremate, have your body cremated. Certainly in this day and age where funerals are so expensive, cremation has become an economical choice. Mm-hmm. It is certainly cheaper to do it that way than it is to actually bury the body. I think the reason that Christians and Jews alike have been keen on burying the body is the hope of resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus says, I'm going to call you out of the graves.
Right.
So based on that, the burial has been kind of the way of choice, mm-hmm. Preferred way as far as what to do with the body once a person is absent from the body and present with the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that God is not going to be able to call somebody out of that ash heap and to reconstitute the body into a resurrected body. God is certainly capable of that. But kind of the preferred choice has always been burial, just in light of the fact that one day we're going to get resurrected bodies. So it's in honor of that hope and truth. But as far as cremation, there's nothing in the Word of God that says you can't do that.
Ron, hope that's a help to you. Hope you're listening. And quickly, this question that comes from a Texas listener, is there true forgiveness for the sin of pornography if the sin continues to occur?
Well, there's forgiveness, and forgiveness is in Christ. So if you're in Christ, you have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He's made you fully alive in Him. He's forgiven all of your sins. John, in his first letter, wrote this, I write to you, dear children, that your sins have been forgiven on account of His name. So forgiveness isn't the issue there. It's the fact that you keep giving in to the desires of the flesh. Now, how are you going to change that? How are you going to be liberated from that? Well, I think the first way is by recognizing the forgiveness that you have in Christ, and by recognizing that you, as a believer in Christ, have a brand new identity.
Yes.
That you're a child of God, and this behavior doesn't fit with who you are. And then to, lean into the power of Christ who lives in you to move your thinking and your mindset elsewhere, mm-hmm. and to help show you that you can truly be content in Him.
Absolutely.
And we certainly have resources, a whole series called Living on the Edge, mm-hmm. That is specific to this problem.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate hearing from all of our listeners. And friends, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel. If you have a Bible question or need scriptural guidance for a life issue you may be struggling with, leave a voicemail for us at 844-322-2742. We'll be glad to hear from you. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. And remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry. We deeply appreciate your prayers and your gifts to help us keep going day by day. Make your gift now or anytime at basicgospel.net. And to celebrate the 5th anniversary of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, we'll send you a copy to say thanks for standing with us in this ministry of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. To order extra copies for family members or friends, visit simplegospelsimplygrace.com. Again, that's simplegospelsimplygrace.com. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for our Friday study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace Study Guide. We'll see you then for Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.